Assalamu alaikum and hello, tea besties. Welcome back to another season of deep, intentional, and soulful conversations right here on the Over Tea Podcast. I'm Halima, and I am so grateful to be back for season two. I love this space. I love to share this space with you as we continue our journey of healing, growth, and self-discovery, one cup at a time. And today is special. I couldn't be more honored to open season two with a guest who holds a very special place in my life. Someone who is not just a friend, she's a reflection, she is a mirror, she is a force. My good sis, Khadija. She is the brilliant mind behind Sivane Wellness, the Rest with Grace Retreats, and her newest endeavor, the Grace Nowhere Collective. She is truly the embodiment of grace, intention, and vision. I have watched her build her brands from the ground up with so much care, integrity, and discipline. Everything that she does is always rooted in her mission to create soft and restorative places for women to come back to themselves. Her work is nothing short of prolific, from her carefully curated wellness products to the deeply healing retreats that she leads. She is reshaping what it means to rest, to restore, and to truly honor ourselves as women. And beyond the business, beyond the brands, she is someone who has walked this path of healing alongside me for so many years. She reminds me to be disciplined, to move with focus, and we often remind each other to stretch our vision beyond what feels possible. She holds me accountable, y'all, and not just to my dreams, but to be the highest version of myself. And that brings me to today's conversation. Dare to dream bigger. Because if there's one thing that me and Khadija agree upon all of the time is that our dreams are never too much. And that expansion, growing, growth is our birthright, that we are allowed and designed to take up space. So pour yourself a cup of tea, settle in, and let's dive into this beautiful conversation about vision, discipline, and the power of dreaming beyond what we have been taught to believe is possible. If you had to define dreaming bigger, how would you define that?
Interesting. It would be like me going back to me being a small child, where I would close my eyes and just imagine, right? Like, if I could do, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the ability to be able to do anything that I wanted to do, what would life and my dream look like? And I would close my eyes and I would begin to imagine like I did when I was a small girl.
I think that's dope. I think that especially I feel like for women, dreams really start, well, I can't even say women, all children. When you're young and you don't have the limitations of the thinking that the world puts on you as you get older, you start to dream and you dream in huge color. Like, you don't see limits. Kids are fearless.
Absolutely.
They're bold. They always test the limits of even what they think. And imagination for kids is like, sometimes you have to ask them, like, what are you thinking? Because their imagination is so vast. And I feel like
when we become adults, something happens to us. Not even adults. When we get to a certain age, we stop that. It's like, and it's not because we want to. It's because everyone else around us is telling us, no, you're not supposed to do that, or this is not proper, or you should do things this way. And that big imagination turns into something compact.
Absolutely. You almost kind of become like a robot. You start to navigate life as, let me do what I think I should be doing versus let me just do me. Say Bismillah and just do me.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. You start to do what you think you should be doing based off of what other people told you you should be doing.
Or even how it looks, right? Like where you are in your journey may not look like what people think it should look, right? Mm-hmm. Whether you're, you know, you're a certain age and, you know, people think it, your life should be at a certain place because you're a certain age. I feel like all of those things put limitations on our minds and our dreams. So then you almost become like a robot where you're just living on autopilot to do what you feel like it should look like you should be doing at this age.
Yeah.
Instead of just dreaming.
Yep. Instead of just dreaming. I think I define dreaming big as not having a ceiling. A lot of people will tell you what you cannot do or what is not possible based off of their experience and their own perspective. People will be like, live in reality, but why? I feel like all of the great visionaries of the world from the beginning to now are people that didn't set limitations. You couldn't tell them, no, this is not possible. It's like, oh, it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to figure it out, or it hasn't been figured out yet, or I can see how it's possible and I want to show you how it's possible, but you haven't gotten there yet. Visionaries are ahead of their time. I think that it's so important for us to always stay in that space as a creative, as a person that wants to help or move the world forward in any way. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to say to yourself, there is no barrier, there is no ceiling, there is no wall between me and what I want to do.
Absolutely. And I think that's where it's community comes in. And you being amongst women who are dreaming big, right? And they're doing things that are almost thought of as being impossible. And seeing them execute it, you know? And it's like, we need to be amongst women creating a space where we're dreaming big, right? Because who says that we cannot own 64 acres of land?
Period. Period.
Because that's what we want about the town.
That's what we're about to do.
And so, like, when you're around people who are just stuck in this box, and they have become almost kind of like imprisoned in their mind, it keeps you there. And you have to be around women who are like, listen, Allah said that I can have. All I have to do is do the work and make dua. Who says that I can't?
Exactly.
Allah just says, be and it is.
Right. So with that said, what role has community played in helping you dare to dream beyond limitations?
You know, creating this space of Rest with Grace has been such a beautiful thing to watch blossom.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm able to watch women come into this space broken, not feeling like that's the end of the world for them, right? They don't know what they can do for themselves. They don't know what tomorrow holds. They don't know any of these things. And to be able to sit back and pour into them and have the team pour into them and watch them blossom throughout the community and open their businesses and become better moms. And for one of the best things is like watching them show up for themselves.
Yeah.
Eating healthier, working out, grow drinking water, putting them sodas down. I'm like, yes.
Because that's what it's about.
Yes.
That's what it's about. And then you have this system that you've created around yourself. Well, Rest with Grace is a space where, if you don't have a system and community, you leave with system and community. it is the baseline. A lot of people say, you know, I don't know where to start. Rest with Grace, to me, is the place that you start. And what I love about Rest with Grace is every woman that I know that has come on the retreat, even the staff, like, it's a place to be your truest self.
It is.
There are some people that will stay in their shell for a little while, but then eventually open up because you feel that it's a safe space. It is a safe space.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a lot of integrity there. Like, you go in, you don't know what to expect. You see all of the, you know, people get drawn in by the aesthetics, but then when you actually participate in the retreat, it's like, wow, okay, this is what it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. This is what this is supposed to feel like. I have the time to rest. I have the time to have sisterhood. I have time for myself. I have time to reflect. And I get to do it outside of my own space. And that makes a difference. Like, you get to leave your world behind and come into a space that really is all about you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I wanted to ask you a question. How has collaboration rather than competition with like-minded women like us shape your ability to dream bigger?
Collaboration, I think, is the foundation of everything that I want at my sister's house to be.
Okay.
When I decided that I wanted to pursue something like this, it was based on sisterhood. It was based on collaborative efforts. When I think about it, all of the women that I consider friends are entrepreneurs in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like collaboration is a natural reaction because you have women around you who are doing different things and in different industries, and you want to elevate each other and figure out, how can I connect the dots to make sure that my girl is getting this and I'm getting this, and I introduce her to my audience and she introduces me to her audience.
Absolutely.
And it just flows. Like, I feel like competition over collaboration, competition or collaboration over competition is important. I don't feel like you have to compete. I personally, when I think of competition, I'm not competing with anybody. Mm-hmm. The person in the mirror is the only person that I have to compete with every day. My vision, the lane that I'm in, what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, nobody is going to do that. There will be tons of people that do tea. There'll be tons of tea companies. There'll be tons of experiences in the wellness space that people can create, but I have my own vision. I have my own lane, and I focus on owning that. And I feel like sometimes when we get caught up in the competition aspect or that mindset,
you lose that.
You do, because you're no longer looking at your eye and your lens. You're looking at what is happening around you. And then it starts to infiltrate what your vision actually is. And you get lost in it. And I don't ever want that for myself. I always want to stay, and I don't want to call it tunnel vision, but I want to stay in the lane that serves me the most.
But I think that it's okay to call it what it is.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I make the term all the time, like, I'm locked in, and it's having tunnel vision, because especially with, you know, social media, you can get caught up in what's going on to the left of you or the right of you, but you have to remember your why. And one of the things I love about our brands and our collaborations all the time is that, you know, when we first met, the first thing you and I both said, and I don't know if you remember this conversation, we talked about the wellness space and how it doesn't have to be where, you know, you're walking through the woods barefoot. You know, it could, we're luxury, right? Like, we want to drink a certain kind of water. We want to eat off of glass plates. I share with you, like, you know, my mother had a china cabinet that she would, like, you know, pull the dishes out. And you laugh because you're like, because that's how it's supposed to be. That's how I was raised as well. And I think collectively, we have joined our brands together to show community that you can be well in a luxurious way.
Yes.
And also not be called a white woman.
Right.
Black women also eat well.
eat off of chinaware. Don't use plastic cups. And if you do, that's your business.
That's your business.
But we wanted to show what it looks like to be on a wellness journey the luxurious way. And that's who we are.
Right. And it's not, I think that some people get the idea of wellness, like you said, is this very grounding, connected to the earth in a very physical and spiritual way. And there's nothing wrong with that. I understand that concept. But for me, the way that wellness was always presented is it is a luxury. It is a luxury to drink in this fine china. It is a luxury to have the best quality herbs. It is a luxury to take care of your body. Wellness is a luxury and you deserve it.
You deserve it because it's a lifestyle.
It is a lifestyle.
It can be, if it's not your lifestyle, it can be your lifestyle.
Right.
If it's not your lifestyle today,
it can be your lifestyle.
Maybe it can be a lifestyle tomorrow because you deserve it.
You do deserve it. And what I love about when we first met is it was easy. It was just so like,
but always like, oh my God, Halima is, you know, the young kids say, the yin to my yang, whatever how it goes, right? Y'all know, you know, I'm 40 now. But like, you just get it. You know, like I don't have to cringe when I want to say, I don't drink that. My kids don't eat that. And you're like, of course they don't, darling, because this is what I already have spread out for us. You know, it's just, I love that. I love on this journey with my brand. One of the things that I'm so very grateful for is being able to have you on this journey with me. Yes. Right. It has been such a mercy and blessing from Allah. And I'm really grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. It makes me chuckle sometimes when someone DMs me and they're like, oh, I would like to purchase tea. And I'm like, oh, I'm not Halima. Well, let me send you Halima. I don't sell tea. That's Halima. Halima sells the tea.
Yes. That happens to us interchangeably because people will hit me up about Rest with Grace all the time or the herbal sticks or just different, the her sticks. There's so many different ways that our brands connect. But what really, really, I think, really, where we connect really well is the fact that in terms of our brands is we were never looking to be a part of anyone else's space.
Halima. And that, right? I'm so happy that you said that because for so many years, you know, you kind of navigate through this space of like screaming to the world, like, no, my point and purpose of this was to create what I needed, right? And it was nothing but Allah's mercy that He connected me with you and you were on the same page. Like, this is the journey we're on. And how can we show the world what that looks like?
Right.
And that's where At My Sister's House came about. Like, no, yeah. I want women to not only drink my tea, but to experience my soft energy and my kindness and all of the things. It's possible to go into a space and people be kind to you.
It is possible. And it's possible for women that look like us. And I think sometimes that kind of gets lost in the sauce because there is this need to feel accepted. And that's what community is about. You're supposed to feel accepted. You're supposed to be able to go into a space where you feel accepted. But when you can't find that space, you can make that space. And that's a part of the bigger dream is, okay, I've been to this space and I liked it. And it served the purpose that it needed to serve for me in that moment. But what would it look like if I could have the space that catered to all of the things that I needed or that I wanted to help others with, what would that look like? You can create that space.
And I think that's what we have done.
For sure.
That's what we have done. You know, I always say, even with Sania, you know, it is like being in front of her is like someone just giving you a warm, big hug with words.
It is.
Of course, Sania will be a part of Rest with Grace because yeah. Rest with Grace needs Sania.
Rest with Grace.
You know, it was like Sania. Creating a space of like, oh my God, I know how Sania makes me feel and everyone needs to feel this.
Exactly. But that's what I love about the relationship that we all have. There's this
each of us is, we're very much so individuals, mm-hmm. but we connect and align in so many different ways, even within our individuality. And we're allowed to be the purest parts of ourselves with one another. There's not a lot of people in this world that I can just fall apart in front of, mm-hmm. or that I will. Like, even though, you know, you feel like you're supposed to have, I think people feel like they're supposed to have a ton of friends. And there's nothing wrong with having a ton of friends, but friendship is something that is very private to me. And being a person that is that private and sometimes can be very guarded about things, when you find people that, if I needed to fall apart, I know that I'm safe mm-hmm. falling apart here. Mm-hmm. And that not only am I able to fall apart, but these are the people that are going to help me pick myself back up and tell me that it's okay, telling me I don't have to rush, not asking me what's next and forcing me to do things that I, not forcing me to do things that I want to do, not want to do, but forcing me out of a space just so I can get over it, as opposed to dealing and processing what's going on. Absolutely. Like, that's the beauty of community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's necessary for us to have, like,
it's so necessary, especially with, you know, not even getting into the politics, but what everyone is kind of dealing with. And it just began, you know, and it goes back to Islam, you know, we need community, period.
Period.
So we can zone out from what's going on around us and focus on what's going on within our community.
Yeah.
And take care of each other, because we're going to need it probably more than ever before.
For sure. Like, community is exactly what we all need. And Allah says that we are one body, and we really are. Mm-hmm. And we have to be able to show up for one another. And the next whole century is going to be a very interesting space for us to navigate. And if we don't create spaces and find ways to connect with each other and to help each other, we rise by lifting one another. And that is an important facet in all of the things that we do. I think that community is probably the cornerstone of all of our businesses, because that's what we're doing it for. We're not doing it for the pomp and circumstance and for a look. It's not about aesthetics. Aesthetics is just a part of
who we are.
Of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
It's us putting ourselves into what we're doing.
Correct.
But the cornerstone and the foundation is, how do I leave this world a better place than what I found it? How do I impact my community so that the women and the families are getting what they need?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are some of the boldest decisions you've made in pursuit of your vision?
I think the boldest decision by far was when I told myself 3 years ago that I'm choosing myself first. And why I say it was the boldest decision by far, because I told myself, like, I want to be a certain kind of woman of caliber, right? I don't care what I was before. I don't care what I was that day at that very moment. But I knew that I wanted to be a certain woman. I wanted to be one woman of grace in kindness. I wanted to be a woman that was well. I wanted to heal and be well, to raise healthy brown boys.
Yeah.
Right? That means that you remove yourself from a lot of tables. That means that you have to become vulnerable. You have to unpack your own mess. You have to learn all new things. I mean, I've been on this journey for about almost 2 years now with herbs, with the gut, and eating and fasting, water fasting, and not eating processed food. And to think that before I thought I was healthy, and now to understand that, like, girl, no,
you weren't healthy.
You were not healthy. Okay. Just because you didn't drink soda did not,
not mean that you were healthy. Okay. It's just a different ballgame.
That's it. You know, because I wanted to say, and I can say, I am my brand. I am working on becoming well. I am doing the work to show my community that us two Black women can tackle, we can get in Pilates, we can figure out our gut, we can learn new different detoxes and fasting when you're on your period and fasting at this time and all of the things.
Mm-hmm.
We can be well.
We can be well. And it's important. And I feel like people don't really get to see who we are behind our brands. And it's kind of like bittersweet.
Absolutely.
I think it's bittersweet because you want to have a level of privacy, but you also have this desire to kind of allow people to see it wasn't easy to get here.
No, ma'am.
There were a lot of tears.
Oh, my God.
It was a lot of fighting yourself.
Okay. Uncomfortable conversations.
Uncomfortable conversations. The conversations get very, very uncomfortable. And you feel uncomfortable. There is discomfort in the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. And I feel like as an entrepreneur, just to piggyback off of what you said, like you have to deal with yourself before you can deal with other people.
You have to.
And when you don't do that, the work becomes incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
Incomplete. It's like skipping a step. No, you have to go through this whole thing. You need to go down the entire list and you need to check off as many boxes as you can, because a part of being a good person, part of being a good business person is being a good person. A part of fulfilling your dreams is making sure that you create an environment for yourself to do that. And that starts with you, the way that you treat yourself, the way that you allow others to treat you, the way that you maneuver and take action
mm-hmm.
through this world. All of that matters.
It does.
It's a big part of it.
It is. And it is really, really a journey. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, like, how do you navigate the balance between staying authentic to your values and scaling your vision for a greater impact?
Community is the answer. Like, I have community and Islam, which are, to me, a very cohesive thing. Mm-hmm. Islam is the absolute guide to my life. It is the reason, the season, the purpose, the goal, the expectation, all in one. And don't transgress, to the best of my ability, the boundaries that Islam sets. I try my best. I'm not an infallible person, but when I'm brought information or if I learn or acquire knowledge that is in conflict with what I'm doing, I try to make an adjustment.
Mm-hmm. And I've witnessed that. I've been able to witness that with you.
And it's important to me
mm-hmm.
because when you think about this life, like we're really only going to be here for a blink of an eye. That's what Allah says. We're going to be in the grave longer than we're going to be here. So you can live 102 years and you will be in that grave for a longer period of time than you're in this life. I want to leave this earth being a believer. I don't just think about what's happening in this world. I think about what happens after I leave this world.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a certain conviction in that space, your values outwardly or in terms of your vision, they're going to connect.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about alignment. I don't have the desire to pursue anything that doesn't align with my values. If it doesn't align with my values, it's not a part of what I want to do at all. And community is the other part of that. You know, sisterhood is everything. Sisterhood has saved my life. Sisterhood has put so many things into perspective. It's given me opportunities. It's made me have to self-reflect. It's done so many different things for me that I don't know where I would be. Like, even that first Rest with Grace, the first.
Oh, yeah.
The first Rest with Grace.
Because you know what? You didn't know anyone.
I had no.
No. Well, did you know? Oh, you and Jenna, that was you and Jenna's first time meeting.
That was me and Jenna's first time meeting. I didn't know anyone. And prior to that, I didn't have any friends in Philly. Yeah. I had nobody. I had nobody except for my ex-husband. Like, he was my community. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when I went to Rest with Grace and I was so excited about it, that first Rest with Grace was a whole nother experience. It was like,
it was everything that we all needed.
Oh my gosh. Oh, did we? And we were all going through different things all at the same time. And like, literally, I remember the reel that I made, like, we literally fought
to get there
to Rest with Grace.
Some of everyone did not make it there.
Yes.
Like, fought to get there.
Fought to get there. Mm-hmm. And then when we got there, it was like, okay, Allah, what is this? It was so loving, caring, warm, considerate. It was like we all grew up together. We didn't know each other. Not all of us knew each other. I didn't know really anyone. But to feel like I've grown up with these women, we had a time was had.
It was.
If there was a fly on the wall, the fly would have been celebrating the type of way that we just, it just clicked. It was so beautiful.
It was. And that was like, that was the moment that I said, okay, I'm in a space where no matter how many women are buying the products, these women are going through something so heavy. And at that time, I was kind of talking to like the group of you guys all the time. And I was like, I need to create a space where everyone can pour into each other. Mm-hmm. I need to do that.
And that's exactly what you did. Like, after the first Rest with Grace, it was kind of like, okay.
The community needs this.
You need it, because it's like everybody deserves to have that experience, like to feel that. The laughing child, Jen had us on the floor
crying
in tears, laughing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. We had, and this is every Rest with Grace. This isn't even just like, it's just what we have such a good time. Like, you're able to be yourself. It's really show up as you are. We're going to get you through this. What do you need?
It has always been that. And that is what I love so much, because it's becoming, it was just a dream. Mm. You know? It was just a dream. And now to just take the courage to say, no, my girls, they deserve this.
Yes.
And it takes courage and it takes some audacity. But we're here, you know, with the mercy from Allah. We are now on our 9th retreat.
That is amazing. The winter retreat, I think, kind of, for me, was like, okay, this is real. That house, that space, the way that everything flowed, the way that all of the tweaks and adjustments, all of it really came together
mm-hmm.
in the winter. And it was like, okay, the blueprint has been laid. Now that blueprint is there, this can go as far or further than what we imagine. It can go beyond what we initially thought. And I don't ever think that the dream for Rest with Grace was ever small. I think that it was always, we need to be in another country. We need to be building houses. We need to be building land. But I think the last Rest with Grace really said to me, oh, this is a reality. This isn't even, it's not, oh, this is 10 years from now. This is like, 3 to 5.
Yeah.
Like, it's really real.
We're in this. Yeah. It's very interesting because one of the Rest with Grace, you know, when we do our sister circle and we have our moment where we burn what no longer serves us. And sometimes I share and sometimes I don't. And this particular Rest with Grace, I didn't share what I was burning, but one of the things that I was burning was fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I struggled with was, everything has to look and be perfect. That has been a struggle of mine for a very long time. And the moment that I just started showing up is just like where I'm at and who I am at this moment, right? And I'm letting go fear. That's where grace has blossomed on a whole nother level, because I was able to be able to pour into the team and say, we don't like have to fear any, like, we got this. Let's dream big. Yes. We can do this. We can run this show seamlessly. And the last rest with grace, we did.
We did. It was amazing. So when you are pursuing these goals that feel larger than life, how do you stay grounded?
It's interesting. I have been very intentional about moving with intention. And what I mean by that is making sure that I'm getting up in the third of the night and I'm praying even more, making sure that it's very clear on what I want in life. See, when you get to the point in your life where you create your boundaries and you have your non-negotiables, things are looking a little different for you.
Yeah.
You're able to stay grounded because this is just what it's going to be. And I'm not entertaining anything that doesn't look or feel like what it needs to be. This is it.
This is it. Literally.
So like making sure that I'm praying and asking Lord to protect me and to keep me focused. But I am so determined on being well and creating a community of well women that we're locked in our commitments.
Yes. That's the part, being locked in to your commitments. And I was reading something on the interwebs the other day, and it said, consistency doesn't mean that you're having to show up every day. But you do have to show up and you do need to do what you need to do on a regular basis. And that's a part of it. Being consistent, staying focused and locked in to what you're doing regularly. The world will try to overwhelm us.
Of course, every day. The moment you open up social media.
The moment you open up social media, social media is too much for my life. I've pulled back so hard from social media, not because it's not a fantastic tool, because it is. It is a great connecting tool.
It is.
But it will also suck you in, make you feel like.
But I feel like it only sucks you in if you're not grounded on that discipline.
The discipline conversation
is a whole nother
podcast.
It's a whole nother podcast.
It's a whole nother podcast.
Because we got to just stop playing. And it even goes back to explaining, like, discipline is really what self-love and self-care looks like.
It is. If you can master even a third of being disciplined, you have
done. You stand a chance.
You stand a chance. Because the discipline to do things or to not do things or abstain from things is, it will literally have you in the fetal position, choked out.
All the time. And so let me ask you this question, right? You know, what do you believe is the most significant internal shift that you have to make to dream bigger on a larger scale? Do you think it's discipline?
I think discipline is a part of it. I think discipline is the action that you have to take in order to make the shift. Mm-hmm. I think that when I think about internally, what I had to realize is I'm capable of doing these things.
Say it again, Halima. Yes, you are.
I'm capable. And there are so many things in life that will stop you from thinking that you are capable of doing the things that you want to do. Capability is the foundation. Believing and knowing in your heart that you are capable and that you have a Lord that is going to, and is also more capable than you could ever be to take you from point A to point B. Capability and faith are synonymous. And once you have the knowledge and the conviction that you're capable, that's when discipline comes into play, because I can believe that I'm capable, but I can't believe that I'm capable sitting on Instagram for 3 hours and not doing a damn thing. Okay.
I know. And it is so crazy that you said that because, like, I was just having this conversation. I'm like, girl, I have to figure out. I'm like, let me just get a tripod or get something and put it in the car and do content in the car while I'm doing life. Right. Because I have become so disciplined and determined to do what I said I'm going to do and be who I say I'm going to be and show up in a way I need to show up. I don't really have time. I'm like, I'm in it. And it's like, I've been in it for so long. And I look up and I'm like, dang, I have not been on social media. Let me get back.
I promise
you. This is a part of the business.
If you are living in real life, you do not have the time to be on social media. And if you are, it is because you have a team that is supporting that vision. When you are the one woman band, living in real life is all encompassing. Mm-hmm. When I think about my morning routine, when I think about from when I wake up to when I get to bed, I have this much time, for anything else. And it's like, but would I want it any other way? No. I want to live a fulfilling life. I don't want it to be aesthetically pleasing to everyone else. I want it to be pleasing to me. Mm-hmm. I want to live in the real world, and not that social media isn't a part of it. I love social media for what it does, but I can't live in social media. I have to live in the world. Mm-hmm. So that's what I do. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's important. And I think that it helps me to stay grounded. But the discipline literally changes your life. Discipline
changes your life completely.
Shakes up your entire world.
Oh God, yes, it does.
It shakes you up because you have to deal with the dark and light sides of yourself. You really have to do that shadow work. And that shadow work, you know when somebody is really healing because they get dead silent. You don't hear from them. They are off of their phone.
They're off of their phone. And it's like, it's so crazy because, and not so crazy, but it's like, okay, I see why people do not do the work. Because the moment you have to lock in to be disciplined, now you're being held accountable for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because we can't say, it's just like, okay, you know, everyone does, you know, the new year boards and get the new planners and all of the things. And that's cool, right? I got my planner too. And then you say, okay, well, if I'm putting that I'm going to be well, or I'm going to have a six pack, or I'm going to do all of the things, then what am I doing to get there?
Hello.
Right. So like when people are calling and like, and what I love so much is that the rest of Grace, different groups are like still connected. So they're planning all of the restaurants and going to restaurant weeks, da, da, da. And I'm like, girls, I would love to say, hey girl, jump in. And then I had to ask myself, you are in a season of sitting out because you have work to do.
Right.
And I know that right now going out one day for dinner may not seem like a big deal. But if you're locked in and then you're doing water fast and you're doing this and you're doing that, will it reset what you're doing? It will. So you can't go right now. And that's the part of discipline. It feels sometimes like you're alone. You're not. You're just on this part right now.
Right. And you'll get back to the other.
You'll get back to the other space.
Mm-hmm. But in order for you to be an effective member of society, doing what you say that you're going to do, being who you say you're going to be, you have to step back. And on this journey of discipline and dreaming, you know, beyond limitations, the other thing that I feel like people don't really speak about is the losses. People think that it's all a win, and you see social media and it's, I did this and I've accomplished this, and we celebrate our wins around here.
Yes, we do.
We're going to celebrate our wins, but the losses, they take really, you don't expect them.
You don't.
And it'll come from places that you never, you'd be like, hold on, Nawala. No, I want to hold on to this one. Please let me hold on to this one. And it's like, Allah's like, you told me you wanted to be over there. You are now right here. In order for you to get from here to there, all of this has to go.
I know. And that's the part. And so like the part of like letting go fear, right? Can honestly say that what I had to let go, Allah has placed beautiful people in that same space.
Mm-hmm.
And they're new. And it's like some of the women I meet on Rest of Grace, they are so beautiful. And it's like, okay, I have to truly say that I want to be this kind of person. So I have to let the fear go when you're in that space of feeling alone, mm-hmm. knowing that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when he takes something, he will replace it with something better.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to go through this right here.
Right.
This part I can't skip.
You can't skip it and don't try to.
And most people skip it and you never get to where you need to get to.
Exactly.
Because you skip it and you get choked out and how it feels, because it feels choke you out.
Yeah.
But you have to do it, Halima. We have to be better. We have to be, you know, and I tell you all the time, we're going to be well.
We're going to be going to the gym. Be well.
Okay. We're going to be eating healthy. We're not sitting around looking any kind of way. No. It's not acceptable.
You're going to be polished over here.
Okay.
I don't know if it's
you're
going
to get
else.
Into your herbs. Listen, I'm going to send you to, you're going to get into your herbs. You're going to figure this out.
Exactly.
You're going to start drinking some water.
Yes. We will be well and we will be polished.
Okay.
If we're nothing else, we will be polished.
That part. But this is, and I love this. I love having conversation over tea with you. You know, this week has been a week for me. It's been a week for me. And I almost didn't want to show up today. One, I wasn't really feeling the best this morning. And this week has kind of had me in a chokehold. And sometimes when you have overwhelming weeks, you just want to, you want to pull away, right? Yeah. You want to pull away. And as I, you know, when I finished offering Fajr and I said to myself, remember the commitment that you made to yourself. And what I told myself years ago is that I am going to show up when I do not want to show up. That is the time I'm really going to show up. And I needed this conversation.
We both did. We both did. Honoring your commitments is discipline.
It is.
Honoring your commitments shows integrity. Is a reward system, firstly, from you to yourself, because you're like, I did it not feeling well. I did it not at my best. I did it even when it was inconvenient. Not only does that make you a person that honors your commitments, but that makes you a good friend.
And can we talk about how do we get to dreaming big and putting... Things are not, you have to pray, but you have to do the work.
The work.
Okay? So if I'm up in the third of the night and I'm praying, I'm asking the Lord for all of these things, and I want to dream bigger, then when it's time to do the work, it's not always going to be convenient. You're not always going to feel like it, right? It's not always going to be like, oh my God, it's a vibe day because I'm so motivated. To this morning, I wasn't motivated. I wasn't feeling well.
Yeah.
But I'm doing what I said I was going
to. Yes. And people really don't get to see that mm-hmm. side. Like us having a friendship allows me to see your life on the other side of Sivane Wellness and Rest with Grace and Grace Nowhere Collective. People really don't see what you do every day. And I promise you, y'all. If y'all see what her life is like just everyday motion, I don't know how she shows up every day.
Me and Erin had the same conversation. She said, Khadija, how do you show up? And I thought about it. And I said, Erin, I'm so determined not to lose myself. I'm so determined not to choose me. It's just Allah giving me what I need to keep going.
Alhamdulillah.
I look up and I say, you may not always have that support system that you need. You may not always have this or that. But when you know what it's like to lose yourself, when you know what it's like when you can't show up as a mom or as a wife because you're just a mess, when you know what it's like when you can't even attract healthy people because your mental health is the hell off,
mm-hmm.
and you say, I don't want that for myself, we got to do what we have to do to show up.
Right.
Because that mental health is a whole nother conversation. And even down to eating what we need to eat, getting rid of those parasites, being able to think. Some of us can't even think. We're in brain fog. Oh, don't even get me started. just let me say that for another time. Can I squeeze? Because I'm trying not to be that person. I'm trying not to be the comeback person. I promise
y'all, she's the auntie, and she's going to get you together, the gut heaven.
Because when your gut is not right, you can't think, sis, if you just start eating a little better and shifting what you're putting in your body, I promise you, you'll be able to function and think. We're going to say that for another conversation.
But it's true, though, and I'm going to piggyback off of that. What you eat and what you put in your body, your brain and your gut are connected. If you are not eating healthy, if you are not eating to enhance and support the systems that are in your body,
you will never be able to achieve anything, Halima.
You won't be functioning. You're not even functioning. Don't be a walking parasite. You have to clean it up.
You have to. And so, like, even going back to the question of, like, you know, like, I think about, like, how do I do it? I've changed my diet all the way down to, like, going to get IV infusions because I was vitamin D deficient, B12 deficient, all these deficiencies. And it's like, no wonder why I cannot get out of bed. No wonder why my skin is not glowing. No wonder why my hair is breaking off. So I'm going to do everything I need to do because motherhood is not going to stop.
It's not.
When my husband called me up in my room, that's not going to stop.
It's not
going to
stop.
What am I going to do to make sure that I'm the best version of myself to do what's not going to stop?
Exactly.
And I do. I have more energy. Taking all of those things, those processed foods, you know, just a lot of things out of my diet, I really am able to show up and do what needs to get done.
And that is a word, honey, because it makes a difference. People don't really, there isn't enough conversation, and maybe we'll do a podcast.
Can we do? Because we need to get down to the nitty gritty.
We need to y'all get down to the nitty gritty of, we are not making any excuses for ourselves anymore. Like we talked about winter depression, winter blues. That is really a thing, right? But then you think about, what do most people eat in the winter? A lot of comfort food, a lot of mac and cheese, a lot of foods that has so much sugar in it. And we love those things. I mean, I was a girl that could eat a pint of ice cream every night. When you think about how this stuff affects your mood, you have to start taking some accountability to say, well, if I'm drinking this and this says that it has 60 grams of sugar and an additional 60 grams of sugar, and I'm consistently drinking this, I'm going to start feeling depressed.
Your body's
going to start saying, sis,
it's too much.
This is too much. So you will start feeling.
Right. You will start having mental health issues and episodes.
You will.
And when you, especially that sugar baby, because the sugar, parasites love sugar. The things in your body that want to make you unwell love sugar.
They love sugar.
They love sugar. I have a brother, and not to get off topic, but my brother, he suffers from schizophrenia. He cannot have any sugar. None. Because it takes him to a whole nother person.
It's a whole nother person.
And you think that, oh, it's, you know, what he's going through, it's the mental health aspect of it. It's like, no, if that's part of it, but the sugar
is triggering it. It's taking what he's going through mentally to a whole nother height. Yeah. So if you have someone that does struggle with being depressed, or depression may run in their family. If the person is eating yams, cooking their food, eating organic food, I'm sure they would have less episodes whether a person is eating Chick-fil-A every day.
Right. Because you're not putting all of that sugar in all of the breads and the pastas and the rice. It turns into sugar. Okay.
Sugar.
So last question. My favorite question for you.
Okay.
And I know this is just my favorite question for you.
Okay.
What is your vision for the future? For both your brand and for the legacy you want to leave behind.
I'll say this, because I'm also being mindful of
not oversharing and not doing the work and showing later, right?
Right.
But I want to say that the legacy is that what I want to leave is that when the angel of death comes for me, all of the good outweighs the bad. And there's so much stuff that I do in the community that is not posted on social media. And there's so many private conversations that I've had with sisters that helped them get through whatever they were going through that is never spoken about, right? And I pray that when the angel of death comes for me, that women from all over the world stand and make dua and ask Allah, Allah, she was the one in our community. She helped us get to.
Yeah.
When I wanted to leave my husband, she reminded me of my purpose of marriage. When I wanted to give up, she reminded me like, no, you know, when non-Muslims come to rest with grace and then they take shahadas, I pray that those good things weigh on my scale. When my boys are in society, they can say, my mother was a woman who changed the community. She brought what softness looks like. She was who she said she was. She did what she said she was going to do.
And that's beautiful. And you just, I'm going to say it for you because you do. You do what you say you're going to do, what you say you're going to do. You show up the way that you say you're going to show up, and you are the person that everybody sees. Like, there is not a difference. And it's hard because as a friend, I would love for people to see all that you do. But I understand, even because I'm the same way, like I understand that barrier between us, our private lives and our social and outward lives. But you've always been a woman of integrity. You've always been a woman of grace. You've always been willing to help and to step in. There's never, I can't ever think of a time where I've asked something of you and it just wasn't figured out. And that makes a difference. Like, that is how you show up for the people that you value and that you care about. And it's always been this way. Like, we had so many amazing conversations throughout the years and so many milestones and so many epiphanies and all of the different things that we have kind of traveled, these journeys that have led to a bigger path together. It's amazing and it's incredible, but you are who you say you are.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm finally in a space where I'm not a prisoner of who I was.
Baby, people will try to keep you trapped, okay? They will try to hold you hostage.
That's a whole nother conversation.
We're not going to have it today.
But when I made up my mind that I wanted to leave a legacy of showing women what it's like to really have trustworthy people around you and to show you what you deserve. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it. That is a beautiful way to end this podcast. The message today is to not allow yourself to be boxed in to even your own scope of vision. Dream bigger. Do more.
Do more.
Believe that you are capable, that you are deserving.
Yeah.
And that you have, and if you don't have in this moment, that Allah will place those people around you that will be able to help you realize those dreams and be a part of it. The dream can be reality, and that's the message. No matter how big the dream is, and one day, you know, as you're doing the things and having the discipline and having the accountability and believing in yourself, you're going to look back and you're going to say, wow, I came this far.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I took it this far. No limits, no limitations, no ceilings.